And today we're starting another short series, some topical sermons about important cultural struggles. Some of these topics were things the elders asked me to address, and some I felt were important just to single out for more attention. And today we're looking at what I'm calling digital discipline. Right, digital discipline and how we as Christians use our digital devices, and especially how we use social media on those devices. Now, some of you never use social media, that's fine, but you have been affected by it anyway because so many other people do use it. All right, and so I just want to look at these things from a biblical perspective. And so with that in mind, let's look at our passage today. We'll start in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll read verses 9 through 12. Hear then the word of the Lord. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. This is the reading of God's word. Now let's go to him in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity we have to learn from you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit work mightily in our hearts and minds to grant us understanding not only of your word, but also those areas in our lives which need to be brought to repentance. And we pray that you'd strengthen our faith in Christ this morning and conform us more to his likeness. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we begin this study on digital discipline, we began here in 1 Peter 2. Not because this passage talks about social media, but because here, Peter reminds us about our fundamental identity and purpose as Christians in the world. Okay, the church is God's chosen and precious people. The church is God's priesthood, devoted to serving and worshiping him. The church is God's holy nation, distinct from any other nation in the world. Now, we are called out of darkness, saved out of our sin and misery, and called to proclaim God's praises in gratitude for the mercy he has shown us through the work of Christ and his cross. As his redeemed people, we belong to God now, that our lives are not our own. And because of that new identity in Christ, we are called to live as sojourners and exiles. As exiles, our primary identity and purpose comes from our home nation, not the culture in which we live now. And Peter says that we live among the Gentiles honorably, and we are witnesses to them. We love them while we are with them, but we belong to God and serve him first, no matter how different that makes us look from the rest of the world. And I start this study here because it's so easy to forget who we are as we live and interact with the world around us, and even make use of new technology. Right, these things are not neutral. Okay, they are tools used within the moral framework of the user. And when you forget your identity before God, it's very easy to absorb and imitate the ways of the world, which contradict how we should live. And so we must use these modern tools in a way that is consistent with our life and calling with God. And Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now that's the framework we build on as Christians with any issue that we must work through. Okay, we belong to God, we proclaim his mercy, we no longer follow the lead of the world. And we're exiles waiting to go home. And so how do faithful exiles use these digital devices, and especially social media? And we do need to think about it. Right? Computers and the internet, and especially smartphones and social media, have radically changed ways of communication and economics and politics. And everything is affected by it. It's an information revolution, more significant than the printing press or the automobile. Right? Now the church made great use of the printing press and the automobile, right, for the glory of God. And we need to think through how to use these new inventions for God as well. So that's a lot to cover in one sermon. I'm not going to be able to say everything there is to say, but I hope it gets you thinking more about the issues involved with this technology. All right, so with that in mind, we'll look at digital discipline, especially social media discipline, through two main points. First, we'll look at the benefits of social media and then the dangers of social media. All right, so a fairly simple outline there. The benefits and then the dangers of social media. And my hope for you today is that you would learn how to honor the Lord and love your neighbor in the way that you use these technologies. All right, so with that in mind, we'll look, first of all, at the benefits of social media. What is social media? All right, social media is a form of electronic communication. It's a form of electronic communication. Some popular programs today are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and there's many others. And these programs allow you to communicate with people in any part of the world that has internet access. Through these programs, you can publish your own thoughts or ideas, share news stories and articles and other information, start conversations with people, keep up with friends or family far away, and dialogue or comment about various issues. And all you need to participate is a computer or a smartphone that is connected to the internet in some way. And then this whole world of digital communication opens up to you. Right, social media is a way to publish or broadcast information and participate in wider conversations through the internet. And so through these programs, it's very easy to get information out there or to receive it. Now, what does the Bible say about these things? And well, at first, it might seem like it doesn't say anything. Right? That term social media is not used. But when you realize that social media is a form of speech, then the Bible provides tons of guidance for how we should use it. And the Bible is full of commands and promises and wisdom about how we should or should not communicate with one another. James 1:6 says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." That the way you control your tongue reveals your true religion, like whether or not you are a true Christian. And that applies not just to spoken words, but the way you speak through a keyboard. And Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that applies to all the ways you speak. And so social media is a form of speech, and everything God says in His Word about the way you speak applies to how you speak through social media. And so social media is a form of speech. But now another important point is that social media is public speech. Okay, it is public speech. Now that's obvious with programs like Twitter. And our current president and many celebrities love to use that platform for public speech. But everything you say in social media is public. Even if you only say it to your select friends, it's still public. It doesn't matter how strict your privacy settings are. You need to treat everything as public speech. Treat it like you were speaking into a microphone for all to hear. Or at least like a crowded restaurant or shopping mall where you can be easily overheard. All right, treat all electronic communication as public speech. There is always the danger that someone will hack into your accounts and broadcast your information to the public. Now, we saw that with Hillary Clinton, didn't we? Someone hacked her server and shared all her confidential emails with the world. Now, you might think that your account is secure, but it's not. And everything you say on the internet is stored somewhere. Like Facebook or Google or a government agency has it stored somewhere. And so do not share information online which you would be ashamed for the whole world to hear. Now, we speak differently in private than in public. And sometimes we must do that as a matter of discretion. But social media often confuses that boundary and gives you the illusion of privacy which you really don't have. And so treat all social media and electronic communication as public speech. And young people especially, you need to remember this. It's easy to get comfortable and to share pictures of your latest foolish parties or pranks, all in good fun, It's easy to rage by message against someone who hurt you or to post outrageous things. But all of that can come back to haunt you, even if it was years ago. Right? Many employers look at your social media profiles. They want to know what kind of person you are because you will represent their company. And if that image you put up contradicts what they want, then they won't hire you or they could fire you. Now, government agencies monitor social media, looking for threats because terrorists and criminals use social media. And if you're not careful in what you say, you could end up investigated. Now, so social media is public speech. Never forget that. Now, another thing to remember is that social media is also limited speech. It's limited. And what I mean by that is that these methods of communication have limitations. In Scripture, the preferred method of communication is face-to-face. For example, 2 John verse 12 says, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face-to-face so that our joy may be complete." 1 Thessalonians 2:17 says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face." Now, face-to-face communication is the preferred method of communication. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, he says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." Now, one-on-one communication is preferred. Written communication was used when face-to-face was not possible. So, for example, in 1 Timothy 3, Paul says there, "I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God." All right, so Paul wrote that down just in case he didn't get there in person. Now, written communication is good for that. It provides a fixed reference for instructions and records and promises. And that's what the Bible does for us, doesn't it? But the preferred method of communication is face-to-face. That's why God sent preachers to preach the gospel, not just letters. In face-to-face communication, you use words and tones of voice and body language. As you speak, you see how the person responds and you can adjust. You don't have to say as many words in person as you do in writing because your tone and your body language add so much more. And so, as you use social media, realize its limitations. Right, face-to-face communication is better in nurturing relationships. And now, one thing I do enjoy in social media is that it helps me to keep in touch with my extended family and old friends, which I wouldn't have been able to do 20 years ago. Right, it's a great blessing to know them. But face-to-face would be so much better and richer for those relationships. Right? So just remember, social media is limited speech. And finally, social media is entertaining speech. It's entertaining speech. Social media provides entertainment. It's a form of recreation, just like watching TV or movies. Right? Through social media, you enjoy people's comments and pictures and jokes. You witness funny articles or memes or videos. And most of it's all in good fun and harmless. But it's a form of entertainment and an escape, where you can forget about your troubles for a time. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying clean entertainment in itself. Right? Sometimes we need a break. But Scripture also warns us in Ephesians 5:16 to make the best use of the time because the days are evil. And make the best use of your time. Now, you may not be doing anything morally wrong on social media, but the amount of time you spend there could be wrong. According to some studies, the average smartphone user spends 2.4 hours a day on his phone. Right, most of that on social media. Right, so you're wondering where the time went. That's very often where it went. Right? And so there's a huge temptation to waste time and neglect more important things. It's very easy to get sucked in. Right? You intend to only look at something for 30 seconds and suddenly you've been on there for 30 minutes. Now, we'll come back to why that happens in a minute. But as Christians, we're called to be good stewards of our time. God gave us priorities in life, and entertainment is a much lower priority. And so don't let it choke out the more important things. So these are some benefits of social media. It's a form of speech, it's public speech, but it's limited speech, and it's a form of entertainment. And everything the Bible says about the use of your words and your time applies to how you use social media and these digital devices. So that brings us then to our next point, and that is the dangers of social media. Though there are great benefits in communication, there's also great dangers. You need to know these things so you can use them wisely. And the first thing, probably the most important, is that social media can be addictive. It can be addictive. The longer we have this technology, the more the novelty wears off, and the more we're seeing the unintended consequences of using it. And perhaps the best people to warn us about this addictive potential of social media are the people who invented it. For example, a former president of Facebook, his name is Sean Parker, recently changed his position and is now a social media critic because of this danger of addiction. And he explained how they designed Facebook. And he said the big question they asked was, how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? Right? How do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? Right? They designed it to do that. And he went on to explain. He says, it's this mindset that led to the creation of features such as the like button, which would give users a little dopamine hit to encourage them to upload more content. It's a social validation feedback loop, especially the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. So did you hear that? Exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. And so what did he mean by that? Well, for those who don't know, there is this like button on Facebook. It's the same on many other programs where you post a message, whether it's a picture or an article or just your own words, and people can respond by clicking the like button, which tells you that someone liked what you said. Right? And seeing that response to your message triggers a small release of dopamine in your brain, which gives you a sensation of pleasure and fulfillment. And of course, the more people who like your posts, the more dopamine hits you get in your brain. And so you post more things to get more dopamine-induced pleasure. And they've applied that science to many other features on these programs. Right? All social media uses that science. And so now you get notifications on your phone, a little chime or a sound telling you that someone's responded or messaged you. And every time that chime goes off, your brain thinks, great, more dopamine. And you're lured right back onto social media. Now, video games are designed to work the same way, to keep you sucked in. In fact, this science is the exact same method used by the gambling industry, trying to get you addicted to the game and to keep you playing as long as possible. Now, the intention of the social media creators was not to create addicts, but money. Right? Social media is free. They make their money through advertising. Now, that's why there are so many ads on social media. Companies pay to advertise on there, hoping you'll see the ad and visit their website and buy something. And even more, they actually monitor your activity to learn what you like and target ads specifically toward your preferences. Right? So they've designed social media to keep you coming back so that you will respond to their ads and spend money. And several of these designers realize this problem. They're now breaking away from it. One author said it this way. He says, it's revealing that many of these younger technologists are weaning themselves off their own products, sending their children to elite Silicon Valley schools where iPhones, iPads, and even laptops are banned. Many of these designers realize the addictive potential and are now trying to protect their own kids from it. Right? But this addiction causes other problems. Perhaps the biggest one is that people are losing their ability to focus on anything else. And another author said it this way. He says, there is growing concern that as well as addicting users, technology is contributing toward so-called continuous partial attention, severely limiting people's ability to focus and possibly lowering IQ. One recent study showed that the mere presence of smartphones damages cognitive capacity even when the device is turned off. Everyone is distracted all of the time. And so what he means there is that even if your phone is off, in the back of your mind, you are wondering what's happening on social media. It distracts your thinking and makes you less productive and useful in your work or your family. And one study said that the average smartphone user touches his phone screen 2,617 times a day. Right? And I encourage you to count it sometime when you're on your phone. Now, why? Well, sometimes it's for work or research, right? But too often it's just to check social media. And now I'm not saying to give up all social media. Some people are, but I'm not telling you to do that. But you need to realize the potential danger for addiction so that you can use it wisely and safely. As Christians, we're called to avoid becoming addicted or enslaved to anything. 2 Peter 2:19 says, "For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." Colossians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, if your life is dominated by social media, if it's distracting you from your obligations, then you are becoming enslaved to it. And so that's one big danger of social media. It's designed to be addictive. And so you need to have safeguards in place to keep you from getting enslaved. Now, next, along with that problem of addiction, that social media can help damage your body. It can help damage your body. You might say, well, how does that work? Well, just notice a few things. First of all, digital screens can damage your eyes. And studies show that staring at screens for a prolonged period of time, especially in the dark, will damage your eyes. These screens produce what's called blue light. It's full-spectrum light, similar to the light from the sun. And when your eyes are exposed for a long time, it damages the cells in your eyes. And if you continue over a long period of time, the damage becomes permanent. And so people addicted to social media on their phones or computers or watching hours of TV on these screens can damage their eyes. And so as good stewards of your bodies, you don't want to waste your eyesight on screens. Now, manufacturers are trying to fix that problem, but the danger is still there for now. Another way these things can damage your body is through sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation. The content of social media alone can keep you awake, right, just thinking about it. But the light from those screens also interrupts what are called your circadian rhythms. And normally, when it gets dark out, your body produces melatonin, which signals to your brain that it's time for sleep. But the light from the digital screens tricks your body into thinking it's still daytime. And so you don't produce melatonin and you have trouble falling asleep. And so now some experts are saying to shut off all screens at least an hour before you go to bed. Now, the problems of sleep deprivation are well known. Right? It makes you depressed. It's harder for you your body and your brain to recover and to heal itself. It's harder to stay focused and stay alert. It lowers your productivity and your energy levels. It affects your appetite and many other things. Now, God designed our bodies to sleep. And when we deprive ourselves of it, it leads us to many problems. And so these devices can cause sleep deprivation, especially when we're using them after dark. And just one more note about damage to the body. Is that these digital screens damage brain development in children, especially in boys. They can damage brain development in children, especially in boys. I was listening to an interview about this recently, and the scientists there said that the primary way that boys learn is through interacting with the world around them. And that's why they touch and wrestle and run and take risks that scare their mothers. Right? They were designed that way by God. That's how they learn. They learn through getting their hands dirty. And as they actively participate in the world around them, their brain develops the necessary pathways to grow and to thrive. But when you stick them in front of a screen for hours a day, that makes them passive rather than active, which affects that brain development. It hinders their abilities to learn social skills and impulse control and how to focus and pay attention and many other things. So you need to be aware of these dangers of addiction and damage to our bodies from too much screen time and social media. Now, another danger is that social media can also damage communication. It can damage communication. That's one of the strange ironies, right? It was designed to promote communication, but the way it's often used is damaging. And there's many ways this happens. One problem is that it is disembodied communication. You're not communicating face-to-face, and for some reason, When you put a screen in between people, many abandon the normal restraints they would have when speaking face to face. Now, you can rant and rave and criticize in a way that you wouldn't do in person. And so this way of communication can be dehumanizing. And because it's written rather than face to face, it's also harder to understand without the tone of voice or the body language. And so things can be easily misunderstood. Also, when this medium becomes your primary way of communicating with others, it cripples your ability to speak face to face. Now, you lose the ability to talk face to face and to think on your feet. You lose the ability to be kind and respectful and tactful in what you say. And perhaps the biggest way that the social media damages communication is that it fosters the spread of misinformation. Okay, this tool is great at spreading useful information rapidly. Right? You can share sermons and articles and encouraging notes, which is great. But it can also spread misinformation rapidly. And too often, people post articles or memes that sound true because it fits your worldview. But they're not true. It's a lie. And too often, your social media news feed, the input you receive from other people, just becomes an echo chamber for your own ideas, reinforcing your own biases, whether things are true or not. That is what many would call now fake news. Right? Social media spreads fake news very quickly, especially when it comes to politics. And as Christians, we cannot participate in that behavior. Right? The ninth commandment says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Right? Christians should never spread rumors or gossip or slander or lies, intentionally or unintentionally. And if you can't prove it or verify it, if it doesn't defend someone's good name, if it's not constructive, then don't share that news with others. Nothing looks more foolish than spreading or commenting on reports that you find out later are not true. That is a blow to your Christian witness. And as those who love God and who love truth and who love our neighbors, it's part of our call to be agents of stability and peace and truth wherever God has placed us, including on social media. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Proverbs 18, 13 says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." And too often, people on social media become fools, spreading rumors or lies or uninformed opinions. So we must love the Lord and our neighbors with our words. And Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Now that should be our goal, to bring healing and grace to others through our words. So we've seen some benefits and dangers to social media. And if you're going to use it, then use it wisely. Using your words in a way that reflects true religion, right, a true relationship with God. Use it knowing and protecting yourself from the possible dangers it can bring. And use it in moderation. Don't let it crowd out the more important things in life, like spending time with God or your spouse or your church or your work. Don't let it corrupt your productivity or keep you idle. And if you realize that these things are damaging your life, then don't be afraid to ask for help and to talk to someone about it. Not only are these programs designed to be addictive, but they're also feeding off of legitimate desires of your heart. Now, we like to be loved and accepted and approved by our friends. But social media cannot give us the ultimate love and approval that only God can give us. And too often, that is what we are really looking for through social media. Our hunger is to be thought of as important and respected by others. And it's often pursued through social media. And so too often, you're looking for the acceptance and dignity that only God can provide you through Christ. We may turn to social media for distraction and a moment of peace in our busy lives, but too often, we're using it to find lasting peace that only Christ can truly provide us. And so that's why we need to keep our use of this technology within this broader scope of our primary identity and purpose as God's redeemed people. And we belong to Him. We're called to serve Him first and foremost. We're called to live as exiles, declaring His praises and living honorably among the Gentiles for His glory, using our words wisely and graciously, even on social media. So may the Lord help us to understand these things and to learn this digital discipline for His honor and glory, and to understand our own limitations as well and how we use them. Now let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and the guidance it gives us, and even these new issues that come up and face Your church. And so we pray that You would help us to follow Your Word and to remember who we really are. Now, we no longer belong to this world and its ways, but we belong to You as Your redeemed people. And so we pray that as these new technologies come, we would be able to use them in a way that honors You and loves our neighbor as well. And we do pray for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.